Good morning. As Michael has said, I'm Philip McRae. First of all, can I wish you all a happy new year for 2021. I've been appointed by the North Belfast Presbytery, as Michael says, to be convener of the vacancy. The North Belfast Presbytery is a group of congregations in North Belfast and also Newton Abbey, and we work together. We have meetings and then each of those meetings, then I was appointed as vacancy convener for the vacancy in Carnmoney. So my task this morning is to come here, first of all, to declare the congregation vacant with the retirement of your minister, the Reverend John Dickinson. Obviously, he's now moved on to serving Christ in different ways, and we look forward to that as well on his behalf too. We come together this morning with a sense of gratitude. Sense of gratitude to God for his working amongst us in the past 19 years during John's ministry, and also beyond that as well, for what he has done. And we also come with a sense of anticipation, an excitement even, at what God is going to do as we look forward. Because God doesn't sit still. He calls us to follow him and to follow his leading. We want to discover where he will lead us in the days ahead as we look to fill this vacancy. And that's my role in terms of helping you to fulfill or to call a new minister here in Carnmoney. As we do that, this morning we come together and I've chosen a kind of focus for our service as Jesus is King. And I would like us to, I don't know, we're singing there, Lord, I need you. I think certainly at the moment I need the presence of the Lord. I think we all do. So let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Our God, we come before you realizing that Jesus is King. And we want to worship him as that. Your reign and your peace will know no end. You will establish your kingdom and uphold it with justice and righteousness forevermore. Our God, we know that you will do this because of your zeal, because of your enthusiasm and your excitement at what you do. We give you thanks for the example of Jesus that he has given to us of what kingdom living is all about. We ask that as the wonderful counselor, you would teach and encourage us to work out kingdom life in our own lives as you've taught us. Give us hearts that trust you as the mighty God, able to do more than we could ever think or imagine. Father, as we listen to the news and engage in our daily circumstances, help us to focus on you, who you are, and your power as the one who is in control of all things. Help us know the reality of your love and that your love will compel us to love others. Lord, we long to experience the reality of peace, the peace of God in our own hearts, that which passes all understanding and is able to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And Father, as we work towards peace with others, Father, we look to you today. We ask that you would help us as we come to look at your word. You might give us understanding. Speak to us by your Holy Spirit, because we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to focus this morning our thoughts on Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 2 to 7. And I'm reading for the ESV version. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of a trampling warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is God's word for us this morning. It's hard to beat reading a good book. I've been trying to read a few books over Christmas, some easier than others. But as we come to this section in Isaiah chapter 9, in verses 2 to 7, Alan Harmon in his commentary suggests that Isaiah 6 through to Isaiah chapter 12 is a book. It's called the Book of Emmanuel. And you know, we know that to be Emmanuel means God with us, because that's one of the names that's given to Jesus. So we have a book here, the Book of Emmanuel. Might be worthwhile even having a read at it, those chapters 6 through to 12, if you've got some spare time. But the first thing that you read in the Book of Emmanuel is the call of Isaiah. Do you remember whenever he sees the Lord seated in the throne and filling the temple? This will be Isaiah's authority that God has given to him as he calls him into service. And it's that calling that will keep Isaiah going through the difficult times. And so God, through this experience, speaks to him and cleanses him. He then commissions him and what he's to say and how he's to go about it. That calling will keep Isaiah going whenever he doesn't get much of a response from the people. We're told at that time, whenever this calling is given to Isaiah, that the people were walking in darkness. There's not much fun walking around in the dark. You can trip and fall, maybe do some damage. But Israel, or Judah, had turned away from God, disregarding his word through Uzziah, the king. They were engaging in practices that were forbidden by God and by his law. But then Uzziah was afflicted with leprosy. At that time, we're told in chapter 8 and verse 17 that Isaiah tells us that as a result, God was hiding his face from his people. He had stopped speaking with them. In fact, Assyria had attacked from the north, devastating the people and resulting in their captivity being taken away into another land. They left devastation, food shortages leading to hunger, and ultimately anger, both to the king and towards God. It was tough. It was tough in Judah. Tough in Israel. We have had a tough 2020 for a whole host of reasons. We've had our coronavirus since March. We've been trying to cope with our circumstances and dealing with all the restrictions in all levels of life. Maybe even personal experiences have been difficult and tough. And perhaps sometimes it maybe seems as if God is hiding his face. And yet, it has been an opportunity. An opportunity to hear God speaking to us, perhaps even about what we consider to be important, what the priorities are in our lives. And God has spoken. He's shown us. He's made us sit down and think. He's given us time to think about what's important in our lives. But here in this section, Isaiah has been waiting for God, trusting, hoping. God's going to give me a message. God's going to tell me what to say. As a result of that, things will be radically changed. And what has been happening will be changed. Things will be turned around. And it starts with the fact that It says that in the year that King Uzziah died, in those words in chapter 6, what we see is that Uzziah saw another king, not Uzziah. John tells us in chapter 12 and verse 41 of his gospel, whenever he says that Isaiah was referring to Jesus when he said this, because he saw the future and spoke of the Messiah's glory. You see, whenever Isaiah went into the temple that day, he saw a different king. He saw a different kingdom. He saw a different life. He was given hope. He was given a vision. God called him to what he was going to do. God was going to lead him as he served that king. And so God gives him, as we come to chapter 9, a message for the people. The first word that God gives to Isaiah is that those who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. I think one of the things that strikes me about that, yeah, there's an acknowledgement of the darkness, but the focus is the light. What an encouragement for 2021. There is darkness. We see the darkness all around us, but we see the light. The light is there for us to focus on. And that light is that God is going to do something amazing with us. God is going to reverse the Assyrian invasion. His people will be set free from their oppressors. He will lift up the broken. God will bring joy. He will lighten up the darkness with his action. That's what God does, isn't it? If you remember Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, God does exactly that with the shepherds. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. God shone his light into their darkness to give them hope. Yeah, 2020 was tough. But let's remember what Jesus has told us. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, whenever it says this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There it is from Jesus himself. Yeah, we live in a world of darkness, but I am the light of the world, he says. If you follow me, you'll not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. You will have Jesus with you and in you. And even as a church, Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Peter's reminding us that we as a church, here in Carnmoney, or even in Rosemary, or wherever we're at, a chosen priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, called out of darkness into his light so that we can declare his praises because of what he's done. This is the light for 2021. This is what we're called to do as we serve him. God has made all that possible. He's made it possible for us to walk in the light and not in the darkness through what he has done in Jesus Christ. This means that relationship with God is possible. We can know him as the light. It means forgiveness. It means cleansing. It means God transforming us from the inside out as his light shines into our lives to bring us his truth. But also it means new relationships with others as God shines his light into our hearts, as we look at other people in his light, as relationships are transformed. The light has shone in the darkness. The light shines in 2021. That's the light that we want to focus our lives on. But the second word that God gives to Isaiah is about the birth of a child. And the birth of a child is always an exciting event. Ray Ortland in his commentary says this: God's answer to everything that has ever terrorized us is a child. I think that's brilliant. God's answer to everything that ever terrorized us is a child. And that's what happened. The second word God gives to Isaiah is, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, in chapter 9, verse 6. This is a remarkable piece of prophecy as Isaiah looks forward to Jesus the Messiah. Because he gives us four names. Four names for us in 2021 are amazing. Because this is the one who will be with us as we move into this new year. First name that he's mentioned is Wonderful Counselor. He will be a teacher who will walk alongside us. In 2020, we certainly needed a teacher, someone to teach us, to help us to see what God is doing and to help us to get through. This is God walking alongside us, counseling, helping us. He will teach us what God has told him. And as we think about the Sermon on the Mount, for example, those words that Jesus teaches, or even the words that we read about that he gives to others as he lives out his life, even in the Word of God, wherever it is, we find what God is saying to us. I suppose for 2021, it's about listening to him, isn't it? But that work is continued in the believer by the Holy Spirit. He teaches, rebukes, encourages, and empowers us. He comes on alongside us to help us become more like Jesus. Doesn't pull us down. Doesn't criticize us. Doesn't make us feel useless or unworthy. As we trust him, he enables us. We can do all things through him because he gives us the strength to do it. In fact, James reminds us that if we're lacking wisdom or guidance, particularly in situations of crisis or difficulty, we need to ask. And the Wonderful Counselor will help us, will teach us, encourage us. The Wonderful Counselor, he also says that this Jesus, this Messiah, is the Mighty God. This was not just an ordinary child. While he was born of Mary, he is God. Because Jesus showed us his authority over nature, over sickness, over demons, over sin. John reminds us that he is the Word who was in the beginning, and that he created all things and sustains them by the power of that Word. This is the same Jesus that's living in us by his Spirit. Mighty God. And we also know that he was victorious over death as he was raised from the dead by God, and so able to be with us by his Spirit every day of our lives in that same power. That's why Paul prays to know the power of the resurrection in his life. This same Jesus who demonstrated his divine power is able to work in our lives to do immeasurably more than we can ever think or imagine. Do you remember those first words of Mary that she uttered? For with God, nothing is impossible. This is the mighty God that we're serving. This is the mighty God that we go into 2021, who leads us, who works with us through our circumstances. But we're also told he's the everlasting Father. It tells us about Jesus' as father-like compassion for us, that he cares for his children with a father's compassion and tenderness. For all eternity, Jesus will deal with his children as a loving father. Maybe that's something you need to hear this morning. Because that transforms my experience, knowing that he walks with me through everything for his glory and for my good, which is ultimately helping me to become like Jesus. All my feelings of weakness, of insecurity, of uselessness, of inadequacy, are dealt with by the everlasting Father because he accepts me. He accepts us as we are, as we come to him in Christ. He doesn't give up. He doesn't walk out on me. He doesn't walk in and out of the relationship. In fact, he says that he began the good work and he will bring it to completion in the day of Christ. The everlasting Father with that commitment. Not just here 1 minute and gone the next. You know, I've 4 children and 1 grandchild and love every one of them to bits. Even whenever they do things that I'm not keen on or say things that I find hard or whatever, I don't love them any less. And yet this, I am an earthly father. And yet how much more with our heavenly Father? Yes, there are times whenever we need to discipline, there are times whenever we get cross. But how much more love our perfect Father has for us, who loved us even whenever we were at our worst, still sinners. The love of a perfect Father. But also, we see here the Prince of Peace. It's that peace that's a characteristic of the kingdom of the King. It speaks about the well-being of those who follow Jesus, those who are part of that kingdom. The wholesomeness of life and relationship with God and with others. A quality of life in that way of that he has brought through his peace being part of our lives. That peace which passes all understanding and, as I prayed, is able to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Just like it says in Isaiah 30, verse 15, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. That's the peace of God which comes into our hearts. Sometimes we struggle with that, don't we? I love a phrase that Eugene Peterson uses, and he talks about being perpetual motion. I don't know, you probably can identify with that just as much as I can. We just never sit down. Just have to keep going and keep going. And eventually you crash out. And maybe sometimes instead of being that perpetual motion, we need to sit down and hear what God's saying to us, to listen to him, to make time for him and not avoid him through all the endless activity that we get engaged in at times. This is the King that we worship this morning. He is the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He will set up his kingdom. He will be king whenever he returns. How do I know that's going to happen? Well, there are some things that I get excited about. Sometimes, well, probably most sports, if you mention any sports, that's great, or photography or things like that. Or even, you know, whenever God is working in someone's life, hearing what God is doing in other people's lives, I get excited about that. Whenever conversations come up around those topics, I'm ready for it. I get excited about it. Do you know that passage tells us that God gets excited? Isaiah tells us that God is excited and his enthusiasm, his zeal, will accomplish this plan. God will not be distracted, defeated, or become unenthusiastic. Whenever it comes to establishing his kingdom, gathering his people to himself, we can depend on God to do what he said he will do, and with enthusiasm and excitement. There is that day coming when this child will be king, and his kingdom will be an everlasting one. He will reign forever, bringing peace and justice and righteousness. And the government of that kingdom will be on his shoulders. And we're told that will happen because the zeal of the Lord will accomplish it. He will do it through the death and the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, because he has raised him from the dead. And as we're told in Philippians, he has given him a seat at the right hand of God and given him a name that is above every other name, at which that name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. I was reading for this and I came across the section in Revelation chapter 19. And it's speaking about Jesus, John's vision of heaven opening, and he sees the white horse. And at the end of this section, it says in verse 16 of chapter 9, Revelation, chapter 19, it says, on his robe, that's Jesus' robe, at his thigh, was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. This is Jesus this morning that we worship. This is our hope and our confidence as we go into 2021, as we think about all the issues that are in front of us, whether those are personal, whether those are as for the vacancy as a congregation, whatever they are, Jesus is King. King of kings and Lord of lords. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you this morning and we just give you thanks that Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. We bow before him in worship, realizing who he is and knowing that we can have confidence and trust in him as we go into 2021. So we pray for your leading, your guiding, and your directing in all the aspects and areas of our lives as we surrender to you. So we ask that you would hear our prayers because we pray them in Christ's name. Amen.